app.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. Five Americans are on their way back from the Persian Gulf after years of detention in Iran.
They're all headed for Washington, D.C., soon to reunite with family.
These Americans are now free after having endured something that I think most of us can't possibly imagine.
The Biden administration agreed to a deal in August, clearing $6 billion in frozen Iranian oil funds. In addition to the funds, President Biden also granted clemency to five Iranians who were facing charges in the U.S. for nonviolent crimes. Two who have legal status in America have chosen to stay in the country. Skyler Henry, CBS News, the White House.
There's a potential conflict between two U.S. allies, Canada and India. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Over the past number of weeks, Canadian security agencies have been actively pursuing credible allegations of a potential link between agents of the government of India and the killing of a Canadian citizen, Hardeep Singh Nijjar.
Trudeau says he raised his concerns about this to India's Prime Minister Modi at the G20 summit last week in India. An arrest in Palmdale, California, and the ambush shooting death of an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy.
The suspect chose to barricade himself and refused to initially come out. Eventually, they deployed chemical agents, and the suspect ultimately surrendered.
L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna. The pilot is safe, but what happened to a sophisticated military jet that crashed? CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The F-35 disappeared after its pilot ejected in North Charleston, South Carolina. The pilot is in stable condition. It isn't clear why he needed to eject.
A defense official just now reports that a debris field has been discovered in that area, which could, we repeat, could be the wreckage of that F-35. In the four-day-old partial auto strike against the Big Three talks, but
no deal yet, which means these workers remain on strike.
UAW in the house right now? Yeah!
Citing the ripple effect of the strike, Ford says it has had to temporarily lay off about 600 workers at this plant.
Which is in Wayne, Michigan, which is where correspondent Chris Van Cleve is. Katy Perry sells the rights to five of her albums for a cool $225 million.
They include Teenage Dream from 2010, which generated five monster hits, including Firework. Catalog rights company Litmus Group purchased the rights of Perry's five studio albums released under Capitol Records between 2008 and 2020. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
And this is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like my
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. An Altoona man was convicted of child sex crimes on Friday. According to a WEAU report, the Monroe County District Attorney announced 44-year-old Eric Worth of Altoona, Wisconsin, had been convicted of eight charges, including repeated sexual assault of the same child. Worth was also convicted of using a computer to facilitate child sex crime and possession of cocaine. The convictions came following a three-day jury trial, and a sentencing date has not yet been set. Wisconsin Republicans have announced their $614 million plan to use state and local funds for renovations at American Family Field. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says roughly $200 million would come from Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee, and the Brewers would contribute about $100 million. Speaker Voss also noted that this plan would not raise taxes for residents. Under the proposal, the Brewers would extend their lease with the city of Milwaukee to 2050. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how everybody's joking now.
The Vet.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here every Monday night at 7 o'clock on WAUK 540 AM and 101.1 FM. Folks, this theme of this show has been moving forward. And, you know, we've tried to pay attention to the state of democracy. And over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of publicity about the state of maps and where we're at on the gerrymander in the state of Wisconsin. And I thought it would be really prudent of me to go out and find an expert on this subject from a nonpartisan point of view, someone who has been involved, folks, a lot, and in great detail about the state of democracy in Wisconsin and what's best for Wisconsin from a nonpartisan point of view. And that is my guest, Jay Heck, and representing Common Cause of Wisconsin. Welcome, Jay.
Mark, thank you. It's a great honor and pleasure to be with you tonight.
So just for my listeners, who is Jay Heck and what is Common Cause?
Oh, well, let me just start first by saying one of the reasons it's such a pleasure to be on your program is as a child growing up, I was a history fanatic. And when we made our tri-cornered hats and played Revolutionary War, everybody wanted to be Paul Revere. And for those that don't know, Paul Revere was the great sentinel who rode through the streets of Boston warning people there that danger was imminent and to be ready for it. And it's appropriate that that's the name of your program, because let me just say that you yourself have been a sentinel for democracy, certainly for the last 7 years since you've been a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And so the whole state owes you a great deal of gratitude for the great work you've done in protecting voting rights and making sure that we do not become a voter suppression haven any more than we already are, and we certainly are. But anyway.
Well, thank you very much, Jay. Folks, that was not planned, and that was a complete surprise. And I'm
not paid for either.
I'm really, really humbled, Jay, but I really think it's more important for my listeners to know who is Jay Heck and what is Common Cause? Because your nonpartisan approach, I think, is what is really needed to our discussion.
All right, let me get into the meat of the matter here. I've had the privilege of representing and being the executive director for the last 28 years of Common Cause Wisconsin. We are Wisconsin's largest nonpartisan reform advocacy organization. And by advocacy, I mean we lobby in the legislature and we educate the public about the need for democracy. And by that, I mean more voting rather than less, encouraging people to participate in the process. We believe less special interest money in government and in politics is a virtue, not a sin. We think that people should be represented fairly in the Congress and in the legislature by the drawing of the legislative and congressional districts. We believe that courts should be impartial and that judges should not be ideological in the sense that they are, easily discernible about what their views are going to be before they've even made a decision. And finally, we are just interested in trying to restore Wisconsin really to the hallowed position that we were about 100 years ago when Robert M. La Follette made the state a progressive beacon for good government, progressive, honest government, and really a model for the rest of the country. Wisconsin, former Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis said, was the laboratory for democracy. And we have lost our way, particularly, I'd argue, in the last dozen years from that high standard that people expected. I came to Wisconsin in 1988. I moved here from Washington, D.C. because of Wisconsin's reputation and because it was viewed by the rest of the country as the state of honest, clean politics, bipartisan cooperation, where Republicans and Democrats worked together for the common good. And indeed, as late as the 1980s, Governor Tony Earle, Governor Tommy Thompson, those were days when there wasn't a lot of money involved in our politics, and when Republicans and Democrats, although different and partisan, came together usually for the good of Wisconsin. And so that's one of the reasons I moved here. I myself grew up, I'm a native of Ohio. I grew up in Philadelphia and upstate New York as a liberal Republican, frankly. I was something that they used to call a Rockefeller Republican. Those people are all gone now. They've all been either taken to the back of the barn and executed or dismissed from the party. But back in that day, Republicans and Democrats saw alike on many issues. And there was a common idea that voting and participation in democracy was a good thing, and that trying to keep special interest groups at bay so people were represented was what was most important. And so when I moved to Wisconsin, I had worked for 7 years as a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, a legislative director for a Democratic congressman from Pennsylvania. Before that, I worked for a Republican congressman that your listeners, at least your older ones, might remember, John Anderson of Illinois, of Rockford, Illinois, a very progressive Republican who ran as an independent for the presidency in 1980. I worked on his campaign staff and ran the state of Ohio at the age of 23. But the point being that my evolution in politics, Republican, Democrat, and now for 28 years at Common Cause, has been because democracy really has always been my central interest and focus. And, my first years at Common Cause were dominated by trying to get money out of politics. Campaign finance reform was a huge issue, not only here, but around the country. We worked very closely with Senator Russ Feingold on the McCain-Feingold reform back in the early 2000s. That was a bipartisan reform. My closest ally in the legislature for years was Republican Senator Michael Ellis of NINA, the former Senate Majority Leader, on campaign finance reform. And together, he and I, Senator John Erpenbach, a Democrat, and many others of both political parties, worked to enact some significant reforms in Wisconsin. Amongst them, I might add, is the establishment of the ethics board lobbyist reporting period, where lobbyists are required to report every 15 days how they lobby in Wisconsin, but so much more. Campaign finance reform we advanced, and importantly, we were there during the legislative caucus scandal in the early 2000s, arguably Wisconsin's worst political scandal in 100 years, when the top legislative leaders of both political parties were charged with felony misconduct in public office and removed. That would be Scott Jensen on the Assembly side, Chuck Quala on the Democratic side, Brian Burke, Steve Foti, for illegal campaigning in the Capitol. As a result of that scandal, Republicans and Democrats worked together to form the Government Accountability Board in 2007. That is the predecessor to the organization that you now work for, the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And Republicans and Democrats alike supported that because it was composed of six nonpartisan retired judges who abided by the law, not by political considerations. And it worked so effectively that Scott Walker and the Republican leadership in 2015 decided it had to go. It wasn't compliant enough for them. They didn't have it under their thumb. And so they eviscerated the campaign, the Government Accountability Board, destroyed it. And I got to tell you, Mark, I was very, very skeptical and leery of what they put in its place, the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, because they were deliberately modeled after the Federal Elections Commission with a 3-3 composition on each board. And the FEC, if anybody knows anything about national politics, is a totally ineffective organization that really does not do a good watch job, group. And so that's been my evolution. But since the destruction of the Government Accountability Board, and really since 2011, we've been working on redistricting reform, on promoting voting rights, and trying to protect voters in Wisconsin from further voter suppression. We have the most extreme and restrictive voter photo ID of any state in the country outside of Texas now. Gerrymandering is the most partisan. So there are many, many problems that we have to work on. And that's just sort of a quick glimpse into the work that we do and the thing I've had the privilege to be part of for the last 28 years.
You know, just before we sort of move on, I just listening to you, I really sort of relive some of my life. I moved to Wisconsin in 1984 from Indiana, having been a steel worker for 8.5 years. And I remember when I moved to Wisconsin in 84 to go to law school, that what really hit me was the level of integrity in politics and ethics in Wisconsin politics at the time. And you mentioned Governor Thompson. At the time, I said Governor Thompson would have been a Democrat in Indiana. Okay, I mean, I just saw that much change, that there was really a healthy atmosphere in Wisconsin '84. And you know, we've gone through a Citizens United, I think, and the U.S. Supreme Court decision saying that money is a person, that you know, that you can't regulate politics within the First Amendment context, has really, really put a great, great strain on our democracy. And it's really now, can we get back to democracy? Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with Jay Heck, the Executive Director of Common Cause, and we have a lot more to talk about in the next 45 minutes about democracy and what's at stake.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-50s. Sunshine and near 80 tomorrow, mid-80s Wednesday, slight storm chance. Even more sunshine Thursday, highs in the low 80s, another chance of storms on Friday, near 80 and breezy. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 at WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Tonight, I'm privileged to have Jay Heck, the Executive Director of Common Cause. And we're talking about sort of the crisis of democracy in Wisconsin in 2023. And we're talking about maps and sort of the gerrymander that exists in Wisconsin. So what, you've been involved in watching politics since 1988 when you got here. What's the story on maps in Wisconsin, and how did we get to this place where it is, one federal court said it was not only gerrymandered, it was unconstitutionally so. So what's the history of that?
Well, Wisconsin, for many years, as you know, Mark, but maybe your listeners don't realize, gerrymandering wasn't a thing. And when we say gerrymandering, what we mean is the deliberate manipulation of the redistricting process that happens every 10 years, mandated in the U.S. Constitution to adjust each district by population so that after the census. And that was never an issue in Wisconsin. From the 1950s, when this redistricting really started to be a thing, up through the 2000 census, there had always been, and this helped a lot, that it had always been divided government in Wisconsin. You had either a Republican or a Democratic governor and a legislature, one or both houses of the other party. So that necessitated something that we don't really see anymore. It was called bipartisan compromise. And what that meant was that Republicans and Democrats would sort of say, well, okay, let's figure this out in a civil manner. Congressman David Obey of the 7th District, longtime powerful Democratic congressman, Jim Sensenbrenner of the Milwaukee suburbs, they would get together and sort of decide how to equally divide the congressional seats. And then the legislature would work it out. And if there was a difference or the governor disapproved of the redistricting process, it generally went to a federal court. And the federal court generally didn't do a lot. They basically sort of split the difference. But the point being is that until 2011, we never had a partisan redistricting process, really. It was pretty even. And the proof of that, Mark, is that in 2010, when the Republicans seized control of both houses of the legislature and of course, the governorship, Scott Walker, they were able to do it because the seats in Wisconsin weren't gerrymandered. there were a number of competitive seats in Wisconsin. And so they ran on against Obamacare and on a whole host of ideas that drew more votes than the Democrats. And so they were able to seize control. But what they did shortly after in 2011, right after Act 10, and I'm sure you listeners are familiar with that, right after the destruction of the public finance system in Wisconsin for campaigns, right after imposing the restrictive voter photo ID law in Wisconsin, they got together in July of 2011, and as you mentioned, they imposed the most restrictive, most partisan Republican gerrymander in the country. And they did it in a way to ensure that no matter what happened in a statewide election, and your listeners understand that statewide offices, there's no gerrymandering involved. It's all the people in the state that vote. But on a district level, they made it, they ensured that even if the other party captured the statewide vote in an election for governor, say, for instance, that they would be able to not only maintain control, but barely see any movement. And that worked like a charm from 2011 up through the current day, because they doubled down again and did the same thing again in 2022. So the gerrymandering is simply a matter of manipulating the district lines. And basically what they did in Wisconsin was they packed Democrats into fewer districts. Now, it is true that in Wisconsin, geographically, we're distributed sort of in the sense that Democrats are concentrated more in southeastern Wisconsin, where you are, in Dane County, where I am, but also in the Fox Valley, in Eau Claire, in La Crosse, up in northwest Wisconsin. There are other pockets of Democratic strength. But what the Republicans did was they packed Democratic districts, sometimes 80 or 90% Democratic, safe, of course, but far less than the number of seats that they put Republicans in for, say, a 60% majority. And then when you combine the advantages that they now have with a voter suppression, voter ID law in place, and destroying public financing for elections so that they could pour more money into campaigns, they combine that with partisan gerrymandering. They were well on their way to transforming Wisconsin into a one-party state. And that was their goal. That was their objective. It was a strategic decision that they made before 2010. And it's one that has held up magnificently for them over the last 12 years. So that's sort of the sketch in the history of where gerrymandering came from. Wasn't always here, relatively new phenomenon, but locked into place. And the proof of that, Mark, and I'm sure you've talked about this before, is that Governor Evers was elected in 2018, more than 50%, 51% of the vote, 52% statewide, all Democrats elected to statewide office, but not a single seat in the Wisconsin legislature changed because of, even though Democrats received more statewide votes. And that's the power of gerrymandering. And so that's exactly why this movement has bubbled up over the last 12 years for fair maps all over Wisconsin. 12 years ago, if you and I were talking about it, no one would know what we were talking about. Now, almost everybody does.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here tonight with Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause, and we're talking about how the gerrymander took place and the threats to our democracy that's looking at us and breathing down our necks, folks. We'll be right back with Jay Hack.
Am I talking too much?
No.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Five Americans detained in Iran head home after a prisoner swap, which includes the release of $6 billion in Iranian assets. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
It means that
husbands and wives, fathers and children, grandparents can hug each other again, can see each other again.
The Marine Corps orders a two-day safety stand-down for all aviation units after a third jet crash. CBS's David Martian says the pilot of an F-35 safely ejected yesterday and the debris field has been found.
It was located in a cotton field in Williamsburg County, South Carolina, about 100 miles northeast of Joint Base Charleston, which had been coordinating the search.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says security agencies are investigating allegations of a link between Indian government agents and the June murder of Hardeep Singh Nijjar, a Sikh leader in British Columbia.
Canada is a rule of law country. The protection of our citizens and defense of our sovereignty are fundamental.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Chippewa County Land Conservation and Forest Management announced that the Chippewa County Clean Sweep is scheduled for this Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon. The event will take place at the Northern Wisconsin Fairgrounds and give residents an opportunity to recycle difficult-to-dispose-of household items like batteries, fluorescent bulbs, and propane cylinders. A full list of items that can be brought to the Clean Sweep event can be found on the Chippewa County website. Planned Parenthood has resumed offering abortions in Wisconsin. The resumption of services is the first time abortions have been available in the state since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June 2022. Providers across Wisconsin halted abortion services last year for fear that an 1849 state law appearing to outlaw the procedure would spring back into effect. But a judge last month ruled that the law doesn't apply to medical abortions. The lawsuit over the 1849 law is ongoing and expected to end in the state Supreme Court, which recently flipped to liberal control. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And WAUK 540 AM and 101.1 FM. Tonight, I am honored to have Jay Heck, the Executive Director of Common Cause, and we are talking about an immediate crisis, almost an existential crisis in democracy in the state of Wisconsin. And we were talking about the state of the maps and how they are so gerrymandered, and that in many, many ways, the far right Republicans have managed to get close to a one-party state. But I wanted to ask you, Jay, this notion of this gerrymander, it's also had a real impact on any kind of healthy discussion within the Republican Party itself. Is that a problem that I've identified, or have you seen that play out?
it is absolutely the problem, because after the 2011 gerrymander in Wisconsin, what happened was that the Republican leaders realized that they would be able to lock in power for at least the next decade. And so what they and the interest groups that they worked with, the big money groups like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, Wisconsin Club for Growth, Wisconsin Right to Life, all of those groups, they all saw that as an opportunity to purify the party, to get rid of those voices who had expressed independence, who had expressed some willingness to buck their special interest clout because they believed in independent representation, representation of their constituents, rather than some special interest group lobbyist telling them they had to vote a certain way. And so what happened was those groups and the conservatives in the party, led by Scott Fitzgerald and others, decided, and Robin Voss, by the way, decided that they would get rid of some of these moderate voices. Senator Michael Ellis, the longtime senator from Neenah that I worked with for many years on campaign finance reform, the father of the Government Accountability Board. It was his invention to create a entity with retired judges. Imagine that, deciding what the law should be as opposed to others. He was basically trapped by a right-wing group at a tavern, a bar in Madison, and caught on tape saying a few things. And they basically forced him out of running for re-election in 2014. Sadly, Senator Dale Schultz of Richland Center, a conservative Republican to be sure, but also independent, voted against Act 10, was a strong supporter of campaign finance reform, a former Senate majority leader like Senator Ellis. He was challenged, or that he was threatened with a challenge from Howard Markline, the current Republican senator, and told that if he didn't get out, that the interest groups would drop $100,000 initially to destroy Dale Schultz. He'd had enough. He said, that was it. If my party's going to do that to me, I want no part of it. So I emphasize and raise up those examples, because those are examples of people in the Republican Party who were partisan Republicans, to be sure, but they were also independent-minded and also saw the value in trying to come to bipartisan consensus and agreement, back before bipartisanship and compromise and consensus were bad words for the right wing of the Republican Party. They were driven out, replaced by much more partisan Republicans. And Mark, you know what the problem here is now. The problem is that Republicans now fear that right-wing base so much that they themselves will do anything and say anything to appease that right-wing. A classic example is the destruction of Megan Wolf, all based on destroying her because of unfounded conspiracy theories and disinformation. But if they don't appease that part of the party, they fear that in a partisan primary, all those far right-wing people will oust them. And that's been the experience for moderate Republicans, at least some of them over the years. There's a few left, but they're kind of secret and you don't see them very much anymore.
You know, I think, let me just comment on sort of a couple of things that I've observed. I had the privilege of serving on the Elections Commission with Dean Knutson. Now, Dean Knutson was a very conservative Republican. He was involved with Robin Voss in the creation of the Wisconsin Election Commission and the destruction of the GAB. He was one of the architects along with Voss. And Dean Knutson got run off the election commission by Voss, Senator Johnson, because he had the integrity to say publicly that Trump lost in 2020. Now, Dean and I argued about a lot of things on the election commission. You know, he believed in the entity. He didn't like the nonpartisan GAB approach. But we did share this. And to Dean's, you know, credit, he believed that, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, folks in nursing homes should be able to vote.
Yeah, safe.
And we voted 6-0 to let folks at the greatest risk of COVID exercise the right to request and obtain an absentee ballot and vote.
Yes.
And nobody said boo at the time. Right? Nobody said boo at the time. And so I always appreciate that Dean at least said, you know, people should vote. Right? Should vote.
Thank you, Dean.
When he said, and when he told the truth, yeah, we counted the votes and Donald Trump lost.
Right.
They said Dean's got to go.
Yes.
Now, to me, that's more than one party rule. To me, when the conservatives in your own party get thrown to the dogs for telling the truth, we have a serious problem in democracy.
Absolutely. That is I was not a fan of Dean Knudsen's because he did. He was the architect of the legislation to eviscerate the Government Accountability Board. And that just shows you, Mark, you've really done a great service by providing that as an example. When Dean Knudsen, who was in 2016 the most conservative Republican that I had ever encountered, 6 years later, is basically thrown out of the Wisconsin Elections Commission because he just simply refused to lie about the obvious truth. You are right. That is a dark place that we've gone to.
So, and you know, I mean, I remember looking at him, his face, and you know, he did not believe that Robin Voss, his friend, in quotes friend, was going to throw him to the dogs.
Yeah.
Right? But he did. They just destroyed Dean Knudsen,
yes,
because he told the truth about the 2020 elections.
Absolutely.
So how does that fare? So take us to where we're at in terms of the current maps. I mean, what is the current map? And, you know, what is Robin Voss's proposal, right? I mean, he has now thrown out a proposal. And he talks about an Iowa model. And if Robin Voss is willing to throw his friends to the dogs for telling the truth, can we as a people, as citizens, believe anything that Robin Voss has to say?
Well, absolutely.
So that's a hypothetical. But where are we at on his proposal?
Sure. Let me just say very briefly that the reason the Iowa model for reformers like myself has long been the standard that Wisconsin needs to emulate is because our constitutions are similar. Both stipulate that the legislature shall have final determination of the legislative and congressional districts. That's different, for instance, than Michigan, which, because they have binding initiative and referendum, were able to overrule the legislature there and impose a nonpartisan commission. The legislature doesn't determine the maps. The nonpartisan commission does. We can't do that in Wisconsin unless we change the Constitution. Half the states in the country have binding INR, initiative and referendum. Half do not. Wisconsin does not. We should have a program sometime just about that. But the point being that the Iowa model was fitting for Wisconsin for basically that reason, and because they utilize nonpartisan criteria to draw the maps. They don't use election results. They don't use a lot of other things. Squares are good. Rectangles are excellent. Keeping counties together are good. Communities of interest, contiguity, which is making sure there's not little islands. All of those things are requirements in Iowa. So on many levels, those were great. We all touted those for years. In 2019, we put some safeguards into the bills to be sure that the Republicans couldn't game it if they got a hold of it. Well, Robin Voss got a hold of it. He got a hold of it a week ago.
I'm sorry to sort of butt in here, Jay. I want to talk a little bit more about this Iowa model. We're in Wisconsin. My experience with my fellow citizens is, you know, people are busy eating, trying to get their kids to school, make the paychecks, still have a vacations, you know, go out on a Friday night, see a ball game. Life and daily living is just sucks up their time.
Exactly.
So they barely talk about our elections, much less an Iowa model on map. So you've been living with this. Tell us a little bit more about what this Iowa model, what are the factors in it, and what happened in 2019 and 2021. And let's talk a little bit about that before the break, and then we'll come back after the break and really get into what did Voss, you know, I'd like to call him King Voss because he acts like a king, and that's why it's the Paul Revere show. I don't believe in kings, folks, but maybe you can help us with the Iowa model of democracy a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, it's again, it is the Legislative Service Bureau in Iowa, the Legislative Reference Bureau in Wisconsin, nonpartisan civil servants are charged with drawing the maps. The legislature cannot talk to them about them. The legislature can't say, here's what you need to do. They are in charge and they have to use strict nonpartisan criteria to draw the maps. They do not even take into consideration the hometowns of legislators and congressmen. And so what that means is that they draw the maps for the community. So they draw districts that make sense. They keep Beloit intact. They keep Sheboygan intact. They keep, you know, Madison or Eau Claire and other places and rural parts intact in terms of counties and townships and all of those things. There's no little islands. So it makes sense to people. People have a sense of community and they have a sense that their representation is going to be make some sense because the communities that they are being represented by, the person is representing a common interest. That's basically Iowa. And again, it's a good fit for Wisconsin with some exceptions. In 2019, though, we realized that if Robin Voss were to grab a hold of this, we needed to put some safeguards in there. And so we basically said that if the legislature, after two rounds, rejects the maps that are put forward by the LRB.
Hold that thought, Jay. We're coming back on the other side. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are coming back with Jay Heck to talk about the safeguards that need to take place for our maps.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot Buford's birthday and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-50s. Sunshine and near 80 tomorrow, mid-80s Wednesday, slight storm chance. Even more sunshine Thursday, highs in the low 80s, another chance of storms on Friday, near 80 and breezy. It's 69 degrees right now.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Hope you're enjoying this show and the expertise of Jay Heck and what Common Cause brings to us from as a nonpartisan objective approach. And we were talking about this Iowa model and why it would be useful for Wisconsin and how Speaker Voss's latest proposal is not in any way an Iowa model. Rather, it is, I'll call it this way. It's the King Voss model. And Jay Heck, tell us, what are the problems with the latest proposal from Speaker Voss and the far right Republicans?
Well, Voss has, in the space of less than a week, gone from opposing for 12 years redistricting reform, the Iowa model, calling it unconstitutional, to in just last Tuesday night, less than a week ago, springing out a plan, calling it the Iowa model. And look, the reason he wants to do this is quite apparent. He fears what the Wisconsin Supreme Court is likely to do to his maps, his gerrymandered maps. He fears that they will strike down those maps, order new maps for all Senate and Assembly districts to be up under new maps for 2024. He wants to delay that and prevent that from happening. And so he's now introduced what he calls the Iowa model, but it's Iowa without the safeguards. What he did was he refused to insert into the model, into the Iowa legislation that we have supported for years and reformers have supported, a safeguard that stipulates that if the legislature after two rounds, and this is how it works in Iowa, if they reject the maps, nonpartisan maps drawn by the LRB in Iowa, then the third time, the legislature has the right to be able to draw districts in any way they want. In other words, like any other piece of legislation, they could amend it and they could make it partisan. They've never done that in Iowa because there's a certain amount of respect for the voters of Iowa, for the press, and for the integrity of the process that's been in place for 50 years. We have no doubt what Robin Voss and the Republicans, Devin Lemahieu, would do. They would simply vote down the first two versions of the nonpartisan maps and insert some version of the map they wanted. And the reason we know that is even though they amended that last part and made it look a little better, they still don't ensure court review of the maps. That's critical in Iowa. If the governor and the legislature can't agree on maps, it goes to the Iowa Supreme Court. He doesn't want these maps ever to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So that's what he's done. He's taken Iowa, he's put a little lipstick on it, but taken out the things that keep it from being turned into a partisan manipulation. And he's now trying to, he rammed it through the legislature. Not a single public hearing, not a single piece of input from any good government group like mine, no discussion with Democrats, no discussion with the governor. A reform like this has to have buy-in from everybody for it to be believed and for it to last. and his proposal has none of it. So that is why it's not likely, even if it passes, which it did pass in the Assembly, even if it passes in the Senate, the governor's likely to veto it. And it would be close to see whether they could override that. But he wants to do anything to prevent the Wisconsin Supreme Court from actually acting on his gerrymandered maps. He wants to keep them in place at least through 2024 and string out the process. It's very clever. It's very diabolical. And it's very transparent to any of us that are watching this process.
So what do you hear around the state in terms of the discussion on these issues? Are our local communities, local press, to the extent that they still exist, are people picking up on the fact that Speaker Voss's proposal is really not an Iowa model?
Well, you know, Mark, because this is such a surprise attack and complete surprise and only less than a week old, it's only now that the word is sort of getting out throughout the state. And as you know, media coverage, while it's okay, it's not like it used to be. And it's very difficult for people to even see this stuff explained in the media in a way that they can readily understand it. And as you might imagine, those on the far right get their source of information. They hear right-wing radio in Milwaukee, you know who I'm talking about, and others who, you know, say, oh, well, this is really good, and it's the Iowa model, and let's do this. So they're hearing different things. But there are people that do understand and get this. And I think the fact that it is such a disgusting process that has kept people out, no public hearing, no input from citizens on this. Two days, not even enough to send a letter to your state representative saying what you think about it. I mean, it was just pushed through. People get that. They think it smells. They find it very suspicious. And again, I don't think it has the public support that something, a reform like this, has to have, and the buy-in that it has to have from all of the stakeholders, not just the Republicans. And that's all Voss has sought for. He's only brought Republicans to the table, Republicans to create the amendments, no discussion with Democrats, no discussion with nonpartisan good government groups, and most importantly, no discussion with voters, the citizens of Wisconsin. We need to have people come to Madison and tell them, the legislature, what they think of this. And it's got to be explained in a process that makes sense and everybody understands what would happen if his plan were put in place or the Iowa plan were put in place or whatever plan is put in place. But, you know, if you've waited 12 years, and we have, to put a reform like this into place, we can take 12 weeks to make sure this is done properly and done out in the open, transparently, and with buy-in from all of the citizens of Wisconsin that it will affect.
You know, I think you said something that was really important that I think is sort of the context of Robin Voss's approach. He doesn't want a change for 2024.
Correct.
Right? He wants to lock in the next round of elections, which really sets the stage for democracy for the next 4 years in this United States of America that is being attacked by the far right. Jay Heck, folks, Common Cause, check it out. Stay up to date. Get your facts. Robin Voss did a surprise move. His plan is not the Iowa model, folks. Check it out yourself. Jay, thank you so much for being here. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We will be back.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media.